You're Locked On Senators, your daily podcast on the Ottawa Senators. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm Jake Sanderson, and you're listening to Locked On Senators Podcast.
I'm Tim Stützle, and you're listening to the Locked On Senators Podcast.
Welcome inside episode 428 of the Locked On Senators podcast. I'm Ross Levitan on the outskirts of enemy territory in Winnipeg, Manitoba, alongside Brandon Piller up in the Blue Mountains on the heels of another Sens loss. The Ottawa Senators lose their fifth straight game. They fall 3-2, the final score, to the Boston Bruins last night. We'll say, though, entertaining game, from fights to big hits to momentum goals, and the Senators got their first goal from a defenseman. We'll tell you who that is and more. Plus, speaking of defensemen, Josh Brown just added to the NHL's COVID protocol list, so you can put that into now six members of the team. So we'll discuss what could be next. The Senators are supposed to play tomorrow night at home against the LA Kings. We'll discuss whether there's a chance that that is postponed. All that plus the Belleville Senators back in action. This is the Locked On Senators podcast, your team every day. Today is Wednesday, November 10th in Pilsy. Eight losses in their last nine games. I'm starting to think this Sens team might not be playoff bound.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of runway left, but the takeoff certainly isn't looking very good here, Ross.
What's Andrew Hammond up to?
Yeah, no kidding. But, I mean, I don't even know if the Hamburglar could solve this team's problems, Ross. But, hey, saying that, last night was a much better effort than the last couple games we've seen, and especially considering you're going up against a powerhouse team like the Boston Bruins, and this team hasn't been this shorthanded in a long time. Like, guys coming up from Belleville, key players, like half the decor's gone. Not that was that big of a detriment, to be honest, but still, big changes to the Senators roster. DJ Smith had a lot of changes he needed to deal with and figure out. And I thought this team, considering the circumstances, played a very good game. And only a one-goal loss, right? Like, this wasn't a 5-1 beatdown like the last couple of games we've seen. A 3-2 loss at the hands of the Boston Bruins here is not that bad.
Yeah, not bad at all. When you look at how the game started, shout out if you're following along, at Sen Central, gave you a quick lock, and that was at plus 500 at BetOnline for Zach Sanford to score a goal. And turns out he scored in the exact same fashion as he did in Game 7 of the 2019 Stanley Cup Final, exactly the last time he played in Boston. It was his birthday, too, so you love to see all that. The momentum, the vibes, everything was great, Pilsy. How could they not stretch their lead? Because I'm starting to see a trend here, and it's not one that I like. The Sens have scored six times. They've opened the scoring six times, and they've only won two of those games.
Yeah, it's brutal. Like, normally, the odds when a team scores first, if you go to betonline.ag, are drastically in that team's favors. Like, stats for when teams score first and if they win or not are usually heavily skewed that, yes, they do indeed win. And the Ottawa Senators can't seem to get that to work out for them. But I want to talk about this goal because, man, they should have put the C on Brady Tkachuk a long time ago because he is playing like an animal out there. Ever since they slapped the C on his chest, he's been doing so amazing. And that play was absolutely incredible.
Pilsy, are we saying he's been captain for three games? Because he knew before the game against, who was it last Thursday? Vegas. He knew before that game that he was going to be named captain. He had a goal there. He had a goal Saturday against Tampa. And then this beauty assist on Sanford's goal.
Yeah, I mean, this whole play is Brady Tkachuk. Like, Sanford's just lucky to be there. Like, he gets the giveaway. Stick handles in a phone booth in the high slot. Right away, gets the puck on net, as Brady Tkachuk always does. Then, as he's falling down, he corrals it, stick handles it, and then sends it over to a wide open Sanford, who, I mean, it doesn't get much easier than that to get a birthday goal. So that's an amazing play to start things off. And hey, I'll eat my words. I said I didn't think Sanford was quite ready to go from fourth line to first line, and I thought he played pretty well there. And I think it was, I don't know if we're going to see him stay in the top six, but at least it's showing that if there is some injury troubles, there's a guy you can comfortably move up to the lineup.
Very fair. Now, he got shifts with that line throughout. I mentioned on yesterday's show, I thought it could be a situation where he flip-flops with Igor or Tyler Ennis or anyone on that right side. Drake Batherson played the 18-20 as well. The time on ice was pretty interesting. We'll get into that about last night's game as well, because you look at it, and we should have mentioned this on yesterday's show, so apologies for not, but when we discussed Connor Brown missing a game, that was the first game he's missed since 2016 in the NHL. He had the fourth longest Ironman streak. It was at 384 games. So pretty unfortunate that he was out. We'll get into what Igor did replacing him on the right side, but you're right. Sanford played well, man. Over 15 and a half minutes. Four shots on goal, two hits, a block, three takeaways, which I really like to see. And that was noticeable out there. Ever since that Dallas back check, this guy's just stripping pucks. And if he can add that to his arsenal, he's just going to be that much more valuable for this team. So good on Zach Sanford making the most of this opportunity in the final year of his contract. Now, the real problem here was the Senators not finding a way to convert on the power play. They had a 5-on-3 for about 30 seconds, and they go 0 for 6 in the game. How much do you discredit the Sens power play being the reason why they lost last night's game?
I mean, massive. When you go 0 for 6, like, a team has...
And when the other team scores on theirs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And a team that's as, like, championship pedigree and disciplined as the Boston Bruins usually are, you don't get a lot of times where they're giving up 6 power plays. So to not score on a single one of those is pretty brutal, but I will say I really like DJ Smith's move to call a timeout in the first when they were about to get that 5-on-3, right? Like, that's a move where I think a traditional hockey coach would be like, ah, you're wasting your timeout. Like, you got to wait till the third period because now, look, you're down by a goal and you trying to get the net empty and you don't have a timeout, so you waste it. I don't buy that. I think you need to take a look at the game. DJ Smith saw they had some momentum here. They were on a 4-on-3, about to go to a 5-on-3. So he gets his top unit out there. His top unit was already out there for a considerable amount of time. So he gets them a breather. Let's talk about how to set up this 5-on-3. And unfortunately, pretty much 5 seconds after that timeout, Josh Norris bobbles the puck at the blue line. It clears the zone, and that's kind of all a waste. But the process is there. Like, that, I think that was the right move. Now, the second power play unit, there's a couple guys off that unit. Igor Sokolov had to replace Connor Brown, so that's definitely a change there. And Igor Sokolov, your first NHL game, no practice time whatsoever, and being put on the second power play unit, like, it's going to be tough to adjust, but I thought he did well there. And yeah, if the Sens are going to have any chance winning these games, especially close games, you need to get that power play clicking. I mean, they had a bunch of shots. I think at one point with 5 power play opportunities, they had like 8 shots on net. So it's not like the chances weren't there. I think the biggest problem, Ross, was entering the zone with the power play. There was a lot of times where they were trying to enter the zone and it was just obvious. I think everyone could tell, especially the Boston Bruins penalty killers, that when they were about to enter the zone, whoever had the puck, that was the only option. Like, it wasn't like someone carrying the puck had options if a defender got too close to him or whatever. Like, they just knew, all right, this guy's right about to hit the blue line, smother him, and we're going to stop this zone entry, and then we'll get it out of here. And I feel like that's what happened at least 4 or 5 times there.
Oh, my God. The Sens power play. Don't even get me started on it. 1-for-19 since their game in Minnesota. In their last 19.
The thing is, Ross, though, it really shouldn't be this bad. Like, it doesn't have to be dominant, but their top power play unit is incredible on paper, right? Like, you got Norris, Batherson, Stützle, Shabbat, Tkachuk. Like, that's a really good 5-man unit. And then their second power play unit has actually been buzzing. Like, they've actually been producing chances. They just can't seem to score, which is the frustrating thing. Like, it's not like last year's power play where you're like, this legitimately is never going to work.
Yeah,
like, they're doing the drop pass way too much. No one's in sync here. Dadonov is just a pylon out there. You know, like, last year we were like, this power play isn't going to work. There's so many reasons why they're not successful. This year, apart from breaking into the zone, they should be successful.
Yeah, well, the first unit at least. The second unit, we'll see. For me, it wasn't even the first period power play. Yeah, the 5-on-3 would have been really nice. But when David Pastrnak took that penalty, they called it roughing against Shabbat. It was a high stick. 6 seconds into the second period, that one you need to convert on the fresh sheet of ice. And DJ Smith after the game mentioned that the ice was bad and that was a part of the reason why the power play wasn't successful. I mean, yeah, sure, Boston did get their power play goal just like deflected off of Brad Marchand on the side. It wasn't like it was a beautiful passing play, but with a fresh sheet of ice, I don't think that's a very good excuse. And after that power play, Pilsy, the one at the start of the second, Ottawa goes 10 minutes without a shot on goal. They go from being up 1-0 during that stretch to down 2-1. And to me, yeah, sure, they tie it up after that, but it really felt like that's where the wind was sucked out of the Sens' sails.
Yeah, definitely. And like you mentioned, like that power play goal is a tough one to give up because Pastrnak misses the net by like a foot there. But luckily, there's a guy standing right there and it banks off him and it hits off Marchand and goes in. So it's not like that was like a brutal defensive breakdown or you just got schooled by a good power play unit. Like that was just kind of a lucky play. I'm sure Pastrnak will tell you that's what he was trying to do. But yeah, and that ties it up 1-1. The next goal, this is where I have a little bit of a tough time with Matt Murray. Like, that's not good goaltending positioning there. He's too deep in his net. You can't let a guy like Derek Forbert beat you cleanly like that, especially on the far side there. And another thing, like, I don't want to trash Matt Murray. Usually we're sticking up for him, goalie-friendly show. But there was a couple times, like, that I guess we can get to it now, but speaking of Pastrnak and Thomas Chabot, those two were battling all night, and Pastrnak dumps Chabot into the corner, like absolutely just dumps him. And then I love this play from Chabot, though, because Chabot doesn't just like hang his head and he's like, ah, crap, and slowly gets up. He's into the game at that moment. He's pissed off that that happened. He focuses on the puck. He dials in on Pastrnak. Matt Murray is diving over to get his stick over to make that save. But it's Thomas Chabot's resilience and initiative that he's like, I'm getting there and stopping that puck. He stops the puck from crossing the line and then gives past a cross check right after. Like, I love that intensity from Thomas Chabot. And that's something I want to see more of. Now, what I wanted to get to there, though, is Matt Murray so many times, he's not agile. Like, there's so many times where he's stuck in his position, and then when something changes on him, he's done. Like, he just freezes and he flops over. Like, that's a situation where you should have been able to push your pad over from that butterfly position and not have to make a sprawling stick save that also your defenseman needs to rush from the corner to stop on the goal line, right? So there is some times where I'd like to see Matt Murray get a little more agile, and those types of plays hopefully wouldn't be as dangerous.
And the temperature was turned up the shift before, right? So that's the one you're talking about. And then we got to get into that hit from Josh Brown. Murderer's Row. That's what Josh Brown needs to bring more and more to this team. There was a split second from that initial camera. I thought Chara was back in Ottawa. That number three, the 2D jersey, just standing up in neutral ice and flattening Trent Frederick. And I respect that there didn't have to be a fight right after a clean hit. We'll get to the sixth scrap later in the game. Shout out Alex Formanton, friend of the show. But when you look at just that was shoulder to chest, and you got to keep your head up, kid.
I mean, that's about as textbook of an open ice hit as there is. And Trent Frederick, he left the game immediately after that and did not return. So I bet he's going to be missing some time, and definitely a concussion spotter said, yeah, you got to get off the ice there. But that's the thing, like,
He's given a few of those out, though, too, Trent Frederick. So we wish him well, but he's a tough customer. He knows when he straps on the skates, it's a physical game out there.
Yeah, I mean, what goes around comes around, right? So, and that's the thing. Like, Josh Brown, that's a bag of tricks that he needs to be using more often because, no offense, he doesn't have a lot of bag of tricks. So when you can do that and really make an impact like that, that's going to go a long way. However, Josh Brown has been placed in COVID protocol, so he's not going to be able to kind of bounce from that and continue that physical dominance. But that's a yet another piece of this decor that's now in COVID protocol.
And then, speaking of decor, the Sens finally got a goal from their defenseman. We'll touch on that afterwards. Wrap up the game last night against the Boston Bruins, in which Bruce Cassidy, Ottawa native, got his 200th win as an NHL coach, and the crossbar that was so close. All that after a word from our friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar. If you've been watching us on YouTube, Built Bar's got the YouTube ads going. Shout out Built Bar. The mix box is always the way to go. Mix in 16 amazing flavors, and they're all great for the health conscious guy or girl, because you can lose or maintain weight while indulging in these delicious treats. They look like candy bars, but they give you all the nutritional benefits of a protein bar. They're low in calorie, they're low in sugar, but they're high in protein and high in fiber. And that's a nutritional grand slam. They're soft and easy to chew, and you can get yours right now. Because you're a listener of the Locked On Senators podcast, you're getting a 15% off your next order. How's that? Just use promo code LOCKED15. Promo code LOCKED15. It's Built Bar, a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order.
Oh, yeah, it is Built Bar season, that's for sure. But also, guys, now that Halloween's over, you want to get a step ahead on your holiday shopping. And the best way to do that, Ross, you don't even need to leave your house. You don't even need to leave the couch. Leave it to Shopify. And everyone knows if you're looking for something, Shopify can provide it. But if you're a business trying to provide a service, Shopify is also a great spot for you. It gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for big businesses. So upstarts, startups, established businesses alike can sell everywhere, synchronize online and in-person sales, and effortlessly stay informed. That sounds good to me. Scaling your business is a journey of endless possibility. Shopify powers over 1.7 million businesses. Why not add your name to the list from first sale to full scale? Reach customers online and across social networks with an ever-growing suite of channel integrations and apps, including Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, and more. Gain all the insights you need as you grow with detailed reporting of conversion rates, profit margins, and beyond. So get all the stats you want. More than a store, Shopify grows with you. This is possibility powered by Shopify. Guys, go to shopify.com/LockedOnNHL, all lowercase for Locked On NHL, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/LockedOnNHL right now. Guys, shopify.com/LockedOnNHL. This is possibility powered by Shopify.
All right, Pilsy. So we basically got through half the game there. It's 2-1 Boston. Ottawa goes 10 minutes without a shot on goal, and you just knew it would be a cheeky one, eh? Nikita Zaitsev, comrade Z, gets the Senators' first goal from a defenseman. Does that surprise you? It's taken this long?
Yes and no, because the Ottawa Senators, they don't really have, like, apart from Thomas Chabot, they don't have that offensive flair defenseman. And I mean, Thomas Chabot has so much to worry about. He doesn't have time to be scoring goals. He's got enough on his plate already. So part of it doesn't surprise me. What surprises me though, Ross, is Zaitsev scored from about 6 to 8 feet closer than his usual spot. So he's getting closer to the net there. But that one tips off Bruins defenseman and goes in. I think everyone in the building watching on TV was shocked that that one went in. But ties the game up at 2. And you're sitting there thinking, well, we had a god-awful second period. We've missed on so many power play opportunities. But hey, we're still in this game.
Yeah, they certainly were. And then, so they tie it up briefly. Chabot and Tyler Ennis. Tyler Ennis, by the way, is it the quietest 7 points in 12 games you've ever seen? But it was short-lived. Patrice Bergeron, I feel like we mushed this on the show by mentioning that he has more goals against Ottawa than any other team in the National Hockey League. And he gets a nice play, finished us off from Pastrnak and Charlie McAvoy, who was my lookout player, McAvoy. And he was unreal, had a few huge hits in that game as well. So they get that one, a momentum goal, as we said, less than 2 minutes left in the period. And then the third, like, how would you describe that third period? I thought the effort was there for sure. They were a crossbar away from tying it. But how many times can you be like, oh, we were almost there without actually getting over the hill?
Well, I think it's ironic that you're asking me this because it sounds like we're talking about Pilsy's parlay of the day here, right? one goal away on all of them, right? Yep. So I can understand that. But before we move on, I want to talk about that play a little because that was a weird play that Bergeron scored on because Josh Norris busted his stick and then he had to go, or he didn't bust it. I think he just dropped it or somehow he lost a stick. So he had to leave the zone to try to get it. But there was also another broken stick on the play and the pass hits that broken stick. Bergeron has to bobble it and he figures it out and then he gets the goal. The one thing I would like to say there, and normally we don't get too hard on Zub though, is he's kind of puck watching at that point. Like when that puck hits that broken stick and he sees Patrice Bergeron standing there, you got to try to be a little more aggressive there. I mean, that's nitpicking, but these are the kind of small things where if you let the NHL's game breakers, the NHL superstars like Patrice Bergeron have that time and space, even for a second or two, they're going to make you look foolish. And that's what happened there.
That's exactly what happened. And, you know, when you go up against these top end teams, you have to play up to the competition. You can't allow them to dominate games. So unfortunately, that's the case here in last night's loss. The Senators now 5 losses in a row and 8 of their last 9 games. Will the beatings end, or could they become like the LA Kings, their next opponent, who lost their first 6 games and then won their next 6 games? So you got a team coming in here who is raring to go. And I think that's a little dangerous when you look at this Sens team who's so beat up right now due to COVID and otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I watched their highlights from last night's game and they got some – this is not your big brother's LA Kings team, Ross. Like, they've got some speed now. You know, it's not just the big, slow guys like Lucic and all these big guys, but they're a different team now. But before you head over to that game, there's a couple things we need to talk about, too. Let's get into, where do you want to go first, Ross? Igor Sokolov or Brännström? Because these were two big storylines of the night that we need to get into.
Let's go with Brännström first.
Okay, Brännström first. Now, here's also one thing I want to mention too is people on Twitter, I think, have a warped idea of what Brännström is. Like, all this the savior talk is a little silly. I think, like, really, guys, Erik Brännström is like a false prophet if we're talking about that. And Jake, the real deal, Sanderson, he's like, that's the guy we need to be waiting for as the savior, because Brännström can help this team, but I don't think he can save it. Whereas when you get a two-way guy like Sanderson, who can not only defend well, but also bring the puck up the ice well, and for everyone saying he has no offensive upside, well, he's pretty much ended that debate. So that's the guy that's going to be the savior here. Sure, Branny may look better in pictures and the memes might be a bit better, but I don't think we need to be putting those types of expectations on Erik Brännström right now.
No, I think what you saw last night, I mean, still an upgrade over what the decor looked like over the last 5 games. Yeah. He's fearless, for better and worse, because he got smoked, what, 3 times? Twice by Curtis Lazar?
Yeah. Yeah, and right. And this is the thing, like, we like Brännström on the show. I've admittedly probably been too high on Brännström. Like, every time we do our prospect list, Ross, I feel like the one thing that we have different is I'm always telling you we got to get Brännström up a spot here or something like that. And so I don't want people to get it twisted here, but man, oh man, I don't know. Like, he looks like he's not growing in size in my eyes. It seems like he's shrinking. Every time I see him, it looks like he's smaller and smaller, and we all know it. He gets hit hard. No matter where he plays, he gets hit hard because guys see that he's a puck moving defenseman that's small. So he's focusing on moving the puck. He's got his head down and guys are licking their chops being like, I'm going to crunch this guy here. And that's what happens. But like you said, Branny's fearless. Like, it hasn't stopped him too much, but I'm worried once those hits start to add up and take their toll, he's going to start playing with some hesitancy, or he's going to be making rash decisions to get rid of the puck to avoid a big hit, which you can't blame him.
Or he's literally going to die.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, you can't blame him. He's looking out for his own safety, and that's totally fair.
He hasn't been. Like, that play at the blue line where he's bringing it over, he goes into a cluster of Bruins, and he just gets absolutely rocked. The hit you and I saw him take in Laval in the Belleville season opener was maybe the biggest hit I've seen in the last few years. Yeah. It was insane. And the fact that it's such a trend is really concerning. However, Brandy moves pucks, and he certainly did. I thought that the breakout was a lot smoother when he was out there on the ice. Should we get into Igor briefly?
Well, and also, I just want to say, like, Branstrom was given the opportunity to succeed here, right? Like, he started with Zub. DJ Smith obviously didn't like that, sent him back down with Josh Brown. And Branstrom, he had almost 4 minutes of power play time, 3 minutes and 38 seconds. So, like, he was given the keys to quarterback that second power play unit. And when you get six power play opportunities, you're going to get your chances there. Also, just a quick note, too. This is like a time on ice weird stat that I don't think I've ever seen. Every single player on the Senators, except Josh Brown, had power play time on ice. Mind you, a lot of that is 4 seconds, 14 seconds. But it's weird to notice that every single guy got a touch on the power play and you still can't score. But the thing with Branstrom is, I think, yes, he moves the puck up ice well. And I think that's something that the Ottawa Senators really need. But they need guys that can help them keep the puck out of their own net more than anything. So Branstrom is going to help this team, yes, depending on how long he stays here. I mean, with the COVID protocol looking like this, he's going to be here at least another week probably. He's going to help this team, but we need a lot more than this to really right the ship here.
Yep, and when you look at the shot share, it's not pretty for Branstrom or really anyone on the team. The only
no
guys,
shots for Branny.
The only guys above 50% were Nick Paul and Drake Batherson. Tim Stützle at 44% was the next best, who is still sitting on zero goals this season. Igor Sokolov only played 550 at even strength, got some power play touches like you mentioned as well. But for him, it was the battle that I loved. It was him going in deep, creating havoc, using his big body and really positioning himself in those scrums in the offensive zone, and he came out with the puck with a few times. So DJ Smith made note that he wanted to get him some more opportunity, just with the way that the game and all the penalties both ways, it was hard to get into a rhythm. So I'm really excited to see him going into the next game and see what he can do to take his game to the next step. But awesome to see the lap there before the game, the rookie lap, and just an absolute beauty. So really happy to see him get his first NHL game. And Sens Prospects noted that Igor Sokolov is the first second-round pick from the 2020 draft to play an NHL game, which is even more exciting when you think that he was the second-last pick in that second round.
And everyone was like, why would Ottawa waste a second-round pick on an overager? But anyways, going on to Sokolov's game, I'll echo a lot of your statements. I thought he played well when he was out there. And man, he doesn't even have to do much if he's in front of the net. Like, Jeremy Swayman was struggling to see past Igor. Like, that is a big body in front. And I think Igor might be, I don't know, like, he's a big body in front of the net and he can battle, like you mentioned, but I think you kind of want him in a higher slot position so you can use that shot on the power play. 5-on-5, I think that's the right spot for him. But now that he's going to get, hopefully, I don't know what's going to go on with the Sens practices in the game upcoming here, but hopefully he can get some practice time and get some reps in with that second power play unit to kind of get some chemistry there. And I think we're going to see some nice showings from Igor. And yeah, it just warms your soul to see a guy like that succeed, because everybody's cheering for him. He's such a happy-go-lucky guy, and I think he really brings a boost of morale to this locker room.
The problem is apparent. The third period needs to be better. The second period needs to be better. First period's great. They're starting on time. They're looking good right out of the gate. But you look at that worst third period goal differential in the NHL, and they're 0-5 when trailing after two periods. Just simply not going to win a lot of games when it comes down to that. Their road record under DJ Smith in 67 games has now fallen to 17-42. And 8. That's 50 losses in 67 games if you're scoring at home. So keep that in mind next time you go to betonline.ag. And when you're picking the Sens on the road, know that you're doing it in a risky situation. Although the odds were plus 270 on the Sens money line last night. So Vegas knew. We'll give them credit for that. We can give you a 50% welcome bonus credit if you sign up right now for betonline.ag. Here's how you do it. You go to betonline.ag, sign up for a free account today, and just put in our promo code. It's that easy. Put in promo code locked on. Promo code locked on gets you a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get into the action, and don't forget that promo code. What is it? Locked on to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. It's Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Pilsy. So the Senators are now 3-8-1. 3-8-1. What are you most confident about this team right now?
Wow, way to tee that one up for me. You know, like, I'm going to reference last night's game because I really do mean it. That was the best, like, effort considering the circumstances that we've seen. Like, that really went back to years past with DJ Smith when, sure, the Senators weren't winning games, as you mentioned, the road record, but they were a hard team to win against. Like, teams couldn't just chalk up an automatic W. Like, you had to grind it out to beat the Senators, and that's what it seemed like last game. And I do want to talk about Alex Formanton's fight there. Like, that was just first career fight in the NHL also. And what's that?
No, I said yes.
Oh, okay. I thought you were muted there.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah, and that's the kind of fight that I want. Like, not a staged fight.
Just a few cross-checks to the face.
I was going to say, let's be honest here and call a spade for me. Cross-checks him right in the mouth there. So I think that would piss anyone off.
I'd like him when he's a dirty player. Like, I want him to mix it up a little more than he has. Maybe it's just getting comfortable.
That's what I'm saying. Like, be on the ice and be like, this is my zone. Like, don't be a pedestrian out there. Take over. And Formanton, he had another couple breakaways. One where he gets McAvoy trips him up. So that's a great job drawing a penalty, getting their best defender off the ice. And then that fight, just being like, he's not backing down at all. Like, they're nose to nose, screaming at each other's face. And Formy just said, enough of this talk. Let's go. And Formy definitely won that fight. Like, if you go to hockeyfights.com, the win majority's got to be through the roof because that was an excellent showing by Formy. And hey, if you can get a young kid whose main attribute is his speed and skill to step up like that, that shows a good message to the rest of the team that this whole team's in the fight. Even the guys that really aren't supposed to be doing that, they're willing to stick up for themselves and show that they're not going to back down. So I love seeing that from Formy.
Now, Pilsy, this is up to the minute, and therefore things could change. But you said in the fight. Well, the Senators have six players who will not be in the fight for a little while. As I'm pulling up on our YouTube page, the list of six Senators, three forwards and three defensemen who are currently in the NHL's COVID protocol. And we should add Jack Capuano, associate coach in there, but we just have the list of players up front. Oops, I spelt Austin as though it's Austin Matthews. Apologies, Waddy, for that.
Yikes.
But you got Austin Watson, Connor Brown, and Dylan Gambrell. And then on defense, Nick Holden, Victor Mete. And now the most recent is Josh Brown. So say what you want about the Sens decor, whether or not they're any good, but half of them are out of the lineup due to the COVID protocol. So what do you do going into this game against the LA Kings, assuming that everything goes on? Somebody's got to get called up. Is it Jacob Bernard Docker? Is it Lassie Thompson, who just got back from injury? What's the play?
I don't know. It's an interesting problem they've got here, Ross, because also consider Belleville plays tonight. They play at Place Belle up against the Laval Rockets. So, I mean, I feel so bad for Troy Mann. Has any AHL coach had to deal with the amount of roster transactions as him? I don't think so. There's no way. There's no way. And thank God they got attached or affiliated with the Atlanta Gladiators, because they can't just keep calling guys off the street and from the 67s that don't happen to be playing to play for the Belleville Senators. So
we're ready if they need a goalie.
I got to stretch a little, Ross. So you hop in for the first game. I'll get some stretching done and dust off the old pillows, and then I can come in and back up. But it's tough for Troy Mann. Now, back to your original question of who would get called up in this scenario. I don't think it should be Lassie, just only because he just got back from injury. So just getting back from injury, getting called up in a frantic rush situation where you don't get time to practice or anything, I don't think is a very good move, and it's not setting him up to succeed like we always talk about. However, a guy like Jacob Bernard Docker already has NHL experience, mind you, a couple games, small sample size, but also I think he's been playing well. in Belleville. I think Troy Mann will tell you the same. And if you need a guy for a couple spot starts, he's your guy. Like I would say in case of emergency, break glass and use Jonathan Aspro, but I don't think he's healthy for
no,
that.
So he's out for like 6 weeks.
Yeah. So that's the problem there. This is a scenario where I kind of, well, if they got Hetherington and guys like that, but I wish Belleville would have got like a real legit fringe NHL defenseman to kind of sturdy things back there. But who anticipates these kind of things going on? You can only plan so much. So it's going to be a tough situation, but I would say the right guy is probably JBD at this time.
I think it'd be awesome to see JBD up. I think that he's put in the work and he got a little taste last season, yep. But I think that the 2-goal performance he's coming off of a few games ago now when Rochester was in town, I think that it's just kind of given him a little extra jolt of confidence. And from what I'm hearing down there is that he looks good and he's working his tail off in practice. And I think that it would be a good reward for JBD. Now, knowing it's going to be just like a 1 or 2 game stint.
Yeah.
I think that if it was a longer term injury for somebody up top, then maybe you go with Lassie, because I think he's ultimately closer to being a more NHL ready defenseman. But as of right now, you've got Lassie Thompson, a guy who's only played, I believe, 1 game, maybe 2. He's played 1 game since October 23rd.
Yeah.
Okay? He got an assist in that game. He looked good, yeah. But I think that you just let him marinate a little bit longer because Belleville's in action tonight, and it's a tough matchup at Laval against Calder Trophy. No. Calder Cup hopeful.
Cole Caulfield. Calder Cup.
Yeah, but we can't be mean to him. Otherwise, we might get canceled. You see that tweet?
I was gonna. If anyone's getting canceled for being mean to Cole Caulfield, I think it might be you, Ross.
No, come on. I'm not even mean. I'm just poking a little fun. And what sports without a little fun between organizational rivalry? I've never said he's bad. I just said that Shane Pinto is better. But his dad took offense to a tweet wondering where Cole Caulfield was. Kind of early to send it in the first period from the Utica Comets. And I won't get into the whole problem of it being like, you know, there's been other issues in the National Hockey League. And then a small white guy gets made fun of a little bit on Twitter and everything has to get deleted and an apology issued and all that. I do think that it's a little soft, but at the same time, I get that they don't want their teams chirping players on the other team. That's is of course Ken Campbell wrote that article. No surprise that he's the guy who picks that up. But hey, it's a good test for the Belleville Sens tonight going up against Laval, a team who has Calder Trophy Cup. I keep mixing that up.
I always do that too. Yeah, they need to switch one of them. Like, come on, guys.
There's enough legends in the game of hockey. You could mix it up a little bit, right?
Honestly, jeez.
So what are you hoping to see from Belleville? This is a team that's real shorthanded tonight, but they've been playing some of their best hockey of late too.
Yeah, tonight up against Belleville, I don't have high expectations because, like we said, they're missing a lot of their key players as well. So really what I want to see is stick to the process here. Like, Troy Mann is a great coach, and he has these guys buying into his system, even though half the time it's new guys that he has to teach his new system. But if they can play sound hockey, I'm not expecting a W here because it's a tough task, but just play the proper way here and try to rely on your goaltending. Your goaltending's been hot lately. Hopefully, I'm sure it's probably going to be Mad Sogard in the pipes tonight. Hopefully he can stand on his head and help shut the door here. And maybe the Sens can squeak away a low scoring win here.
Yeah, I would like to see it because any win in the organization right now is huge. Because we tweeted out this morning, this photo of Ben Affleck at his worst and Bill Clinton at his worst. And that's us kind of limping into today's show because the hope that was eternal through the offseason has just flattened. It is dead. This team is what, third last in the National Hockey League? Fourth.
You can put
last.
Sens fans' hope on COVID protocol list as well. Add that there.
Well, no, because that comes off in 10 to 14 days. Whereas this
hopefully that happens.
this is tough right now, Pilsy. Yeah. It is tough. And all we need here, I think, to turn the tide is get Timmy on the score sheet. Like, at least the coach understands this slump and understands the importance of the player because if he was in a different situation, I think he'd be down in the bottom six, maybe getting his ice time cut a little bit. But no forward on the Ottawa Senators last night played more. I lied. Josh Norris is the only Ottawa Senator that played more. Timmy was on the ice for 20 minutes and 51 seconds. I don't know how long we can just say it's only a matter of time. He had another four shots on goal. It's just not going in for him, and you can kind of sense his confidence is disintegrating.
Yeah, and I mean, it's tough for being a young superstar who has a lot of pressure on them and who's used to scoring these kinds of goals that it's just not happening. So, yeah, Ross, do we want to say it again? Eventually it's going to happen. And
I called the Zach Sanford goal last night. I'm calling it. Tim Stützle will score against the Los Angeles Kings, the team that passed on him in the draft.
I was going to say, there's some tie-ins here because not only did they pass on him, but also their owner has a lot of German connections, right? Whoa. We thought it was almost a slam dunk that they were going to take him because of his German connections, but that wasn't the case. So maybe he wants to sprinkle a little revenge in there for Tim Stützle. So I'm with you, Ross. Let's hop on that. Or maybe I shouldn't be with you. Then I'll mush it. I don't know what to do.
I am locking it in. Tim Stützle will score his first goal of the season, and we'll give you the odds of that on tomorrow's show. It was entertaining, though, right, Pilsy? To wrap it up,
I had fun watching that game. Yeah, absolutely. I had fun. I was fired up. Big hit from Josh Brown. Nice play by Brady. Sanford gets his first on his birthday. Formy gets the fight. Batherson hits the crossbar in the third.
And more goalie content. The last thing we got to pull
up. Oh, my God. Thank God. I would have been pissed if we forgot about this. Go ahead.
Filip Gustavsson is now the third person to wear Anton Forsberg's gear. We remember the Artie party.
Oh, yeah.
Artem Anisimov last year didn't get to go on the bench or take warm-ups. He was just the e-bug in the back room. We got photos, though, thank God. But last night, Filip Gustavsson had to take warm-ups in Anton Forsberg's equipment. Like, what?
That is wild. And, like, we're both goalies out there. Like, you might as well be naked out there if it's not your own equipment. Now, I'm not off the top of my head. I don't know the size comparisons between Forsberg and Gustavsson.
Pretty similar.
Maybe you can look that up quickly while I'm going here. But
imagine if it was Sogard's equipment.
You're swimming in this stuff. I mean, and the thing, too, is, like, oh, man, when Josh Norris bowled over Matt Murray, I was like, oh, man, if Gus has to go in here with another Tendy's equipment after an emergency call-up, like, that's going to be tough on him. So
that's
definitely, because you're so used to your equipment that any change will really have an effect. Like, maybe people might think I'm crazy, but the skates is the biggest thing, Ross. The skates is the biggest thing for sure, because everything else, if it doesn't fit, it's just big stuff designed to block stuff, whatever. Right. But your skates, if your foot's loose or you got your toes curled like this at the end of it, that's going to really affect how you play on there. So I was so relieved, not only because we want to see Matt Murray healthy, obviously, but that Gus didn't have to go in there when he got knocked over, because that's so unfortunate to put that kid in a situation like that.
Yeah, well, the Senators are back on home ice. Hopefully they can find Philly's gear. Because nobody knows where it is.
It probably went to Laval with the team, right? So
maybe.
That was probably the issue, is it was in a separate, I don't know, truck, plane, bus, whatever. And Gustavsson wasn't able to get it with him and go. So that's just wild.
Do you know how they could have avoided that?
Let's hear it.
If they didn't send him down for absolutely no reason on Sunday. And hey, they did. And that's kind of what we get, is a little content out of it. So glad we didn't miss that story at the end. And we've got plenty more to preview tomorrow, because the LA Kings are a similar team in the sense of going through a rebuild like Ottawa, but they seem to have put the next gear onto it. What do they have that the Sens don't? We'll discuss that tomorrow, Pilsy. For today, we say goodbye. For Brandon Piller, I'm Ross Levitan. This has been the Locked On Senators Podcast, your team every day.